My guest is photographer Ted Spagna. For the past 10 years, he's been photographing people and animals while they sleep. Early on, his work caught the attention of sleep researchers, and he began sharing his photos with them. This collaboration led to scientific discoveries about the dream cycle and other patterns of human sleep behavior. Spagna became interested in animals after he took pictures of a friend who slept with a cat. His latest collection of sleep portraits was taken at the Boston and Miami zoos. It's called Peaceable Kingdom. Spagna was a filmmaker when he bought his first time-lapse camera, and when we spoke, he told me about his early work in sleep photography.
It was very difficult at first. The very first subject was myself, and it was very crude, very soft, with a lot of technical difficulties regarding the camera. But after a couple of months, I solved it and finally coerced my parents, literally coerced my parents into being subjects for me. And then when people saw the work, they responded to what it represented and to what it was.
What do you mean they responded to what it was? What was their reaction?
They were very surprised.
By what?
They had never seen anyone sleep like that. First of all, I take what I call kind of God's point of view. I mount the camera directly over the sleeper and look straight down. And that's a point of view one never, ever sees unless you put a hole in the floor above someone's bedroom. The other thing that surprises people is what people look like. When I show them portraits of myself, it's obvious that there is another self that exists in sleep that is not apparent in a waking state.
What's the difference?
That's hard to put into words, but I would say it's related to the total relaxation of the face and the muscles in the face, a kind of trance-like state. I don't know how to put it into words, but there is a very, very obvious physiological difference in the way people appear, especially in their faces.
How was it that sleep behaviorists, most notably J. Allen Hobson, got interested in your work?
We met while I was teaching at Harvard University. I was teaching film production at the Carpenter Center for Visual Arts, and the director of the center, a man by the name of Bob Gardner, suggested that I get in touch with Dr. Hobson, who is a sleep researcher at the med school and a man of some international reputation. When he saw the work, he just became very excited by it, because in this art of mine was innovative science.
I'm actually surprised that no one had ever thought of this before.
So am I. Sleep research has been on the scene since 1952, when rapid eye movement sleep was discovered in the University of Chicago. And none of the scientists ever thought of taking pictures like this. And I come along with my intervalomic camera and take these pictures, and it turns out it really reveals something significant.
Now this, what do you call it, intervalonic camera, what we're essentially talking about is sort of time-lapse photography. You take
Yes.
a series of photographs over a long period of time.
Yes. It's a long story, but to make a long story short, I acquired a camera in an auction with a bulk back, and enabled me to put 450 exposures into the camera, so that the camera could really stay unattended for a long period of time, and with the motor, expose up to 450 separate images. And what I did was I put an intervalometer on the camera and programmed the camera to take a photograph every 15 minutes.
Did you decide to take it every 15 minutes sort of by trial and error, or did you actually apply some sort of scientific method to this?
Well, the scientific method and the trial and error kind of converge. A 36 exposure film cassette is the standard film cassette you have. And early on in the work, I didn't have the bulk back, or the back which afforded the opportunity to take to use long rolls of film. So basically what I did is I divided 36 into 8 hours and came upon a number which was near 15 minutes. Turns out that in subsequent experiments with at Harvard Medical School, at shorter and longer intervals, it turned out that the 15-minute interval was about right for an adult human.
Why? Because the sleep cycle sort of conforms to these mathematics?
Because it was the resolution of the view, that is, the resolution of taking a photograph every 15 minutes, clearly showed the 90 to 120-minute sleep cycles.
The photographs are laid out in such a way that they almost look like, I don't know, frames of a film. And you said that you did start off as a filmmaker. Are there similarities here in what you were doing as a filmmaker and what you're doing now as a photographer?
Yes, I think there is. one of the points about these sleep portraits is the subject is not only the sleeper, but the subject in a very real sense is time. We are looking at a person over time, and in my mind, these portraits really begin to address on a profound level what a portrait is. What does a portrait mean? What does it mean to have a photographic portrait? And film is a medium which really springs out of the phenomenon of time. Scenes change, characters develop, scenes switch, they fade in and fade out. It's really a medium of time.
Who was it? Was it Fellini that said film is the dream of the waking mind?
Yes, it was. And that's a quote I read while I was studying film in graduate school. It stuck with me.
You're also taking pictures of animals.
Yes.
Do they behave differently when they're sleeping than humans, say?
Yeah, it depends on the sleeper. I've just had a show here in Boston, which will be traveling around the country. And in that show, there is a portrait of an adult male gorilla. And I have to tell you that I was astounded by how similar he sleeps to an adult human. I didn't expect it, but he sleeps very much like my friend would sleep, another adult male. One happens to be a gorilla and one happens to be Homo sapien. But apparently it's all controlled by a part of the brain called the brainstem, and we share that brain architecture with higher mammals.
So it seems as though now zoologists and people who are involved with animal behavior are probably doing the same sort of thing that Mr. Hobson did in studying humans and the way they sleep.
I think so. My experience with both the Metropolitan Boston Zoos and the Miami Metro Zoo is where I took most of the photographs, both of those places. We learned enough and just saw enough. Let me put it this way. What we discovered in both situations, in both cases, was that this technique could really be useful to the zoologists and to the biologists at the zoos. It can enlighten them about many ways to improve animal management techniques.
Can you give us an example?
Well, yeah, I can give you a concrete example. When I was down in Miami, there is an exhibit in which there is a flock of flamingos. They had built their nests out of mud and laid some eggs. And recently, they had been leaving the nests and the eggs in the middle of the night, and it disturbed the animal keepers down there because they didn't understand why this was happening. They thought maybe the animals were disturbed by the public or this or that. They weren't really sure. And my sleep camera caught a marauding raccoon in the act of harassing these flamingos. And at 2 o'clock, between 2 and 3 o'clock every morning, in the dead of night, this raccoon would come about and scare the hell out of these flamingos, and they would just take off. They would leave their nests and their eggs. So this one concrete example of how my technique has helped in a very real sense.
Do you think the scientific applications of the work that you're doing has diminished your art in any way?
No. I think that in a sense, we have a lot to unlearn about art and science. Today's society has tended to separate art and science in a kind of unnatural way, in my view. And one of the nice things about my work is that it shows that you can have fine art and innovative science together in the same thing, having a kind of mutually help each other in a sense. It's both science and art. It's a double-edged sword, if you will. I think that's part of the strength of the work. I don't see one excluding or one competing with the other.
Ted Spagna, thank you very much for talking to us.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed it very much. Goodbye.
Photographer Ted Spagna's latest photo collection, Peaceable Kingdom, has been seen in Boston, and plans are underway for the exhibit to travel to other cities.